Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's 2023 near the Ukraine-Russian border, and things are bleak. Cities are filled with empty, bombed-out apartments, and in nearly deserted villages, only the old, poor, and infirm remain. Countless soldiers have been killed there, and new recruits taking their place as they prepare to fight and kill the enemy, even as medics drive around looking for the wounded and the dead. Capturing all this is a woman with a camera named Anastasia, asking probing questions of the soldiers she's with. Are they justified in what they're doing? Do they want to be there? And all this is taking place on the Russian side. Russians at War is the name of a new documentary that goes across the border to film Russian soldiers in their war against Ukraine. It captures the cynicism, pessimism, and fear of a never-ending war. It's produced, directed, and photographed by award-winning Russian-Canadian documentarian Anastasia Trofimova, known for her TV work in the Middle East, Africa, and Eastern Europe, and as a fixer and translator for the CBC, New York Times, Magnum Photos, and the Washington Post. This is her first feature. The film is being released on August 12th on RussiansAtWar.com, and I'm very pleased to have here with me via Zoom Anastasia Trofimova to tell us more about her controversial film. Hi, Anastasia. Thanks so much for meeting with me.
Hi, Daniel. Nice to speak with you right now.
First, let me start with the elephant in the room. Your film was scheduled to play at TIFF last year and on TVO, but it was pulled after widespread protest by Ukrainian Canadians and others who were deeply offended by a film they said normalized and glorified the Russian side of the war. What was your response to them at the time?
Well, my first response was, have they seen the film? And most of the protesters that passed judgment on this film have not seen it, and some even have refused to see it. Fortunately, TIFF actually did screen the film. They did it in a safe and constructive manner, because at first they were faced with a lot of threats, which were a first for TIFF in its 49-year-old history, that they had to reschedule a screening of a film due to threats, and was quite unprecedented, which was a shock for myself and for my team, who are all very seasoned award-winning producers and filmmakers. And we were very grateful that they did manage to screen it, and the people that did see the film, most of them have went away asking, we don't understand why this film is being protested, because it shows unvarnished the reality of the war. And when it comes to war films, I think if you stick around war long enough, there's no other film that you can make than an anti-war film, because war is awful, war is horrible. And if you watch films about soldiers from different wars, it's actually quite a strong documentary tradition. We see American soldiers going to the war in Iraq, to Vietnam, and often expressing the same kind of reservations about the reasons for why they're there, or they are quoting personal reasons for going to war, which is, say, they're financial, they have credits, they're trying to pay out their college debts, or they're going for their friends. And it was fascinating to see that if you compare Russians at War to other films about soldiers of war's past, there are a lot of parallels. And so I would advise people who pass judgment on this film to see it, and not to use it as a political platform to attack a country or a nation, just because this is a story from that side. Because if we were to understand each other, I hope that the war will be able to kind of end faster because of that.
I agreed. It's an anti-war film, having viewed it, and not one that glorified Russia. But I do understand how the Ukrainians, their country has been invaded and 9 million displaced and hundreds of thousands of casualties. And so I do understand why their first gut reaction is, why is this happening? But I do recommend people see it. So why did you choose to make this film? What inspired you to make this film?
Well, Well, I never really believed until the last moment that the war is going to happen. I was with the CBC on the border when the war began, and we were interviewing people who lived in the villages on the Russian side, bordering Ukraine. And we were doing streeters pretty much the day before. And we asked everybody, do they think the war would happen? And everybody adamantly told us, there's no way. And I was of the same persuasion. I believed that the war is completely impossible. And when it did, it sort of took my world upside down. And I realized that this is my responsibility now. It's my responsibility as a documentary filmmaker. It's my responsibility as a Russian. I have filmed other wars in the past, other people's wars. Now the war came to my region. There was no way that I would leave. I had to document the story, because also at the same time, a lot of people in the media were leaving Russia. And a lot of people were going to Ukraine to film. So there was this inequality of coverage. And I thought that at least if I could do my part and make this film and try to understand what the war was like on the Russian side, I could contribute to a better understanding of this war as a whole.
So you got to know the soldiers in a battalion where most of their members, I think 80%, had already been killed in the last battle by the time you were there. What was their mood or attitude like of the soldiers you spoke with?
Yeah, so the battalion had about 400 people, and there were 80 people left from the battalion. The approximately over 300 people, they were dead and wounded. And what I filmed is the moment where this battalion of the 80 original volunteers received 300 drafted soldiers, and the story began again from them. Well, at that point, there was a lot of confusion, you see, because there isn't much information coming out from the Russian side, also for the Russian side to understand this war, what it's like, what's happening. And I think a lot of the soldiers expected that they would be able to go home pretty soon and the war would end and there would be some sort of negotiation. And unfortunately, it's in the fourth year, you could say, well, over the third year of the war, and it's still continuing. And at that point, yeah, it was quite shocking and confusing for everybody that this war would last so long.
This is CIUT 89.5 FM, and I'm speaking with Anastasia Trofimova about her new doc, Russians at War. At one point in the film, you state that the war machine dragged many of these soldiers into battle by exploiting ordinary people's patriotism, friendship, and financial need, or financial need. Explain what you mean by this.
Well, because I was very curious about the motivations of these soldiers, and that was one of the first questions I asked of all of them. These were pretty much the three main reasons that I keep hearing over and over again. So a lot of people, for a lot of people, they did go to the war because they had someone else who died in the war. And in a way, then the war becomes personal. People don't fight for some lofty ideal that perhaps they don't understand. And that's a similarity that I've seen soldiers repeat over and over again in documentaries about, American soldiers going to Iraq or Vietnam or other places. It's for Sam, for Kyle, for Brad, for Joan, because they feel like their friend is there and they have to go help out or to enact revenge, unfortunately. And in that way, we see how violence begets more violence. And that's sort of the circle of the war in its own right. Some people went because, yes, they had to, they decided that this is a way to fix their financial troubles. Wars and the army is unfortunately a social elevator for many, many countries, where we see people from not so well-to-do environments basically trying to signing up for the army in order to better their position. And that's not just limited to Russia. That's the story in many places. And yeah, so there is a sense where which people have to understand that for the people on the ground, it's not they don't usually repeat the slogans that you would hear on television. For them, the war is personal for their own reasons. And I think one of the main reasons and why the war changes a lot of people is when they see their friends die. And the same thing happens on both sides of the front. Both sides of the front see their friends die and they become more motivated to fight. And this war becomes personal and therefore more tragic.
One of the theme you look at, it's sort of subtle, but throughout the film is the question of propaganda. And you show evidence of old Soviet propaganda as well as contemporary stuff on TV, newspapers, billboards, things like that. Many of the soldiers you speak to say, don't believe anything you read or see on TV. Would you say Russians are particularly well-versed in detecting lies or propaganda, or is it the same as anyone anywhere?
I would say that there is no nation in the world that is immune to propaganda. And at the same time, the soldiers were expressing this view of media that some of them managed to see even from outside of Russia. So it's coverage from the East and the West that they found to be incorrect when it comes to their reality. Because for me, what was interesting when I started making this film is the polarized attitude when it came to talking about Russian soldiers. And I understand that this is a very controversial topic, if not the most controversial topic at the time. The two main strands that I saw was, you know, in the Russian state media, they are these heroes who never die, and abroad, they are just war criminals and war criminals and nothing else. And for me, it was interesting to find the human story behind that. And when I found the human story behind that, I found that these people often reflected on themselves and how they were portrayed. And a lot of them called back home, and they were just often even arguing with their family members about what the situation was like on the front, because what they saw in media, again, the world over, was completely different from their reality. And so I thought it was quite important to document that, their attitude towards how they were being perceived and they were being shown.
Many of the soldiers in the film that we meet are injured or killed or suffer in some way like that. You were dressed in fatigues along with the recruits. Did you ever feel in personal danger?
Yeah, so I was given a uniform when I first got to the rear, and I refused it, saying, well, guys, I can't really wear a uniform because it's not appropriate for somebody in the media to be wearing one. And I was told, you're an idiot. If you don't want our own to shoot you by accident, wear it. And because I was there without permission, and they often had surprise visits from headquarters to check what was happening, if I was seen wearing civilian attire, I would be kicked out right away or taken by the FSB. So those were reasons enough for me to say, okay, you're right. In this case, I guess that I will have to sort of try to blend in. Of course, when I was making this film, pretty much all the films I made before, my main rule is to live with the characters and live a part of their journey, to walk in their shoes, to understand what they're going through. So in this sense, I ate what they ate, I slept where they slept, I had no privileged kind of position in any sense of the word, and in that way you build trust. In that way, even though I was this strange character from outside, I managed to get their trust. And a lot of them opened up to me and they kind of saw me as this kind of symbol of home. That I was not part of the system, I was not part of the military hierarchy, I was genuinely interested in what they had to say. And I was willing to follow them wherever they were willing to allow me to go. So in that sense, yeah, I mean, you know, I was filming a scene when the medics' basement was being bombed. And of course, I was filming with the artillery when the artillery went off without warning. And there were everything that you would find in a war. Of course, I was there. So there were very probable chances of me being wounded or killed, which I was willing to take because it was that important to tell the story.
Well, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks so much, Daniel.
Anastasia Trofimova's new documentary is available on www.russiansatwar.com beginning on August 12th. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and my website, culturalmining.com.